We talk Max Payne 3's tech specs, Matt's PAX East experience, and my final thoughts on Mass Effect 3's ending next on the AgriCast. Welcome to the AgriCast, the official podcast of AgriGamer.com. This is episode 96, and I am Brian Bentley. With me are my... I'm. You know what? I've just decided you guys are always going to be intrepid co-hosts. Matt Waite, Corey Dockendorf. What's going on, guys?
Yo.
Boldly going where we've already been.
I'm being intrepid, personally.
You know, everyone's got to start somewhere. All right, digging right in. What's going on, Matt? How have you been?
I've been really good. Just been hanging out, playing games. The usual, you know.
The huge.
Yep.
Nice, I like it. I like it. Corey, what about you?
Cooking, lots of cooking. I was just doing a cook-off this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah, lots of
barbecue. And how did you fare?
Not so bad. Got second cut in a couple... For those that don't know, Second Cut is out of the top teams, you're like in the top 25. And out of 250 entries, we were in the top 25.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're pretty happy with that. Nice. Didn't take home any trophies, but looking forward to next year, most definitely. But, of course, that kind of happened the same weekend that Diablo 3 went into open beta, so I missed that whole thing.
Aww.
But 2 more weeks and it's going to come out, so I might as well just wait, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, there's really nothing... I honestly, I can't imagine that they're going to tweak a whole lot between then and now. Or then and now.
Then and now?
Now, yeah, then, meaning
how about,
2 days.
How about now and then? And,
yeah, whatever. You know what I meant. Before the release, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to try to do... I'm sure this was mostly load testing than anything else.
Oh, definitely. The servers were up and down a lot. They were trying to increase the caps on certain servers just to make sure that they could take in the load, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that a lot of this is just based just off the fact of any time that WoW hits the, you know, hits a new expansion, whatever, their servers get hit hard. And I really just think they want to make sure that the customers have a very positive experience.
And that's a very admirable thing. Not too many... companies will do that and open up their servers and make sure that they're ready to take on opening weekend. I mean, this is a really anticipated game, so good on Blizzard. Glad that they're taking the measures to make sure everybody has a good experience when it comes out.
And I think it's also important to look at them doing this, and then especially when now that Pandas is out, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
Not nope. Even close.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, well, whatever.
But everybody's pretty much in the beta, so it should be anytime soon.
Right, exactly. Well, what I'm thinking is they're going to probably take the statistics from Diablo 3 and then Pandas and start to look towards Titan.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have all that data right there in front of you, that raw data. It's going to be... They could really do a lot with this.
Especially considering how long that people have been waiting for Diablo to come out. You know, the fans have been clamoring for it. When this thing hits on May 15th, I believe
15th,
it is.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that is going to be a real... basically, it's going to be a live test for the new MMO.
Yes.
Yep. Big time.
So I think this was really good for them to do this past weekend.
Hell yeah.
Matt, did you get any chance to get in there and play?
I didn't this weekend, but I got invited to the closed beta a couple weeks ago.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I've just, I went completely nuts on it. I beat the demo with like all 5 characters, maxed them out, did everything, and it's so much fun. Especially with the achievements. Putting the achievements into Diablo 3 just makes it like heroin addicting, you know? It's awesome.
Nice. Beautiful. All right. Well, I think that is definitely going to be our next game of game of choice for a spoiler cast type thing. So people stay tuned for that.
And, hell yeah. I think everybody should, I recommend for the next one, we get some notes in the comments. Maybe people can give us some names for what they want to call the next one.
Oh, yeah. Because Diablo Cast, that's going to be lame.
Diagro Gamer?
That's, no. No.
I grow
when Matt groans, that's how bad it is.
That's a bad idea. Agrablo. I don't know. We'll come up with something. And if not,
the Hellfire Podcast.
We could do that.
El Diablo.
Yeah, that too.
We cannot do El Diablo. We'll sound like a hot sauce.
El Diablo. Dios mío.
There you go, Don.
Don Matthew.
Thank you.
All right, so Corey, talk to us about what you've been playing as long as it isn't on an iOS platform. So how is your Tiny Tower doing?
I'm not playing Tiny Tower. I'm playing Hero Academy, which is a turn-based... what do you call it? How can you describe this? So basically it's like a turn-based board game, right? Oh my god. So you get a side of characters. Each person has two crystals on each side. The goal is to destroy the crystals. And every turn you can call out like knights and warlocks and priests and priestesses, and you get buffs. So you get like the Dark Elves have this buff where you can sap life, like 10% life from all the enemies, or you can be a dwarf and have like a bombardier and he throws bombs and blows you up. But you can only do so many moves. I think it's 6 moves on a turn. Mm-hmm. And so you go out and casting a buff is a turn, moving is a turn, attacking is a turn. So your turns go by really fast, so you have to coordinate exactly what you want to do, so you're not caught off guard. And it's all turn-based, so I'll play it, and then a couple minutes later, my buddy will play it. Sometimes there's a couple hours in between, so it gives you some... It's a very chess-like game. You really have to think of strategy when you're doing this, and it's wonderful. It's really an addicting game. I highly recommend checking out. It's completely free to play, so anybody can play it. But in order to unlock the other races, you basically start out with the humans, so you can play human versus human for the free version, but you can download Dark Elves, Orcs, Dwarves. There's more that they're releasing, and each one has their own power set or something that they're known for. Like, Dark Elves are a lot of necromancy and life-sapping, and Dwarves are really big on high damage and high health, and it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
So how much does a race cost?
I believe it's... Hold on, while I'm talking to you, let me check it out and see what it is. I believe they are $1.99.
That's actually not that bad.
So you're get
now. Do they ever get you? Do they ever give you a chance to like free play a little bit with Dark Elves or something?
No, you don't. You do not get any demos with it.
That's probably why it's only $2.
Exactly, because if you get it, you probably want to get the whole pack. You can also buy avatars, which I think is funny. You basically can get... Because the more your team levels up by getting better defense or better attack, their physical appearance changes. So they get better armor, or they get better weapons, they look cooler. Well, every character has an icon that also upgrades, and you can buy the icons separately so that whenever you play somebody, you can have a customizable icon. That's just one other thing that you can do. And that's like 99 cents for an icon or an icon pack for $2.99. And then you can buy custom colors. Your defaults with blue and red when you're home team versus away team. You can buy other colors for 99 cents. But just basically taunts. You can buy taunts. And after the end of your turn, you can submit a taunt and you basically rasp the other person. You start with 10 of them and you can buy them in packs of 10. No one ever really... I mean, I haven't ever had it done to me. I've done it, like, once just to see what it did. It's actually pretty clever. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And that's really... It's all microtransactions that they're making their money off of, but it's totally worth it, even if you just want to have a turn-based game. So... What else am I playing? Oh, and I'm playing Fable 3.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted another open world game that I could really sink my teeth into. I'm about 5 hours in, and it's fun. I was always a big fan of the Fable series, and I never got to play Fable 3, and it was on Steam, so I bought it. And there's a lot of DLC that was released for free, which blew my mind. They're like, one of the things you can get is a potion that will completely upgrade your dog or your pet to the highest level, so you don't have to spend the time developing him. There's costume packs, so you can look like Braveheart. There's a weapons pack that you can get, and all this is free DLC. None of this cost me any money. So I thought that was kind of weird. There are a couple things like an extra costume that you can buy, or an extra level expansion you can buy for a couple bucks. That's cool. But you got so much for free. I was surprised. Good on them. Good on Lionhead Studios for that. But it's fun so far. I'm really enjoying it. I wish there was a little bit more customizability, but so far I'm pretty happy with it.
Now, did you actually try playing Fable 3 previously?
No. I had started it and never actually got to it. So,
I don't know why I was thinking that you were down on it before.
We had talked about it, and I had played it a little bit at CES last year, and then I downloaded it, and I tried to get into it, but there were so many other things getting on. I was just like, this is not my thing. I really wanted to take the time to sink my teeth in. And I was still, when I logged back in, I was still doing the tutorial. So I didn't get it when I first started it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Then it was, I'm not completely going crazy.
No.
You were kind of, meh.
Yeah, I was pretty much like, in the beginning. But now that I've been playing it for a while, I'm getting the hang of it.
Now, is there any, holdover from your Fable 2 to Fable 3? Is there any integration between the two?
None.
Oh, well,
nope. Start all over, brand new hero or heroine, and brand new storyline. So, and that kind of hurts because you spend a lot of time investing into a character. You kind of want them to carry over. So,
yeah, especially from Fable 2, like I was really into my character. Like I was feeling that character, and to know that he wouldn't make it to the next, that's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least anything that you did.
I want it to carry over because I want to know that my accomplishments meant something and had some real world effect, you know?
So. Exactly. All right. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much about it.
All right. Matt, moving over to you. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Dante's Inferno.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Boobs.
So, boobs with tongues for nipples. Yes, I am scarred for life. Especially when they shoot out babies that have size for hands. That's just, oh god.
So, good dreams at night.
Yeah, they're harsh. Been playing The Witcher 2, Doom.
Also boobs.
Yeah, also boobs. Yeah. Doom. Let's see. I just got my.
Wait. Doom?
Yes, Doom.
Like on Xbox Doom?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I'll make sure I heard you right.
Yeah, the original Doom, yeah.
Now, you tweeted something about you were trying to play it on, like, Insanity or whatever it's called.
I was doing it on Ultra Violence, which is the second hardest difficulty. Because, to be honest, if you go to Nightmare, the enemies respawn and they kill you in, like, 5 hits. It's ridiculous.
Oh, sweet. So, now, how far did you get on Ultra?
I beat every episode except for the third one. I'm, like, halfway through that.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
It's pretty tough, too. And since I just got my Kinect today, I popped that on. Loved it. I downloaded a couple demos, Fruit Ninja Connect, The Gunstringer, Dance Central. I think I'm definitely going to buy Dance Central. That was so much fun.
It's a good one. I like that one a lot, too. Though I find, like, when you're playing by yourself, it's fun for a bit, and then it kind of gets old. But, like, you bring, like, 4 people into a room, and then it's fun for hours.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, what else you got?
What else? I got my games right here. Obviously, Rock Band and World of Warcraft. Other than that, nothing.
Nothing. Now, are you? Do you have any interest at all in Rock Band Blitz?
Not really. I mean, it just looks like a clone of Audio Surf, but with Rock Band. I'm okay with that. I don't know if I'll spend the money on it, but I'll try it out.
All right. I didn't know if it was like you just like doing, like you like the plastic guitars type thing, or...
Yeah, I love the plastic guitars. They're awesome.
All right. I like playing them too. I just, that's kind of the very, very similar, I was very similar to you where I'm kind of like, I don't really know if I want to sit down and play it on a controller.
Yeah.
By myself, because it's not really a party game. It's meant to be played solo.
Yeah, that's kind of a downer.
But I do like the fact that it's going to pull in your Rock Band Network songs.
Oh, yeah. I like that feature, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Cool. So, one of the games I've also been playing is Witcher 2. So, now, Matt, did you end up playing Witcher 2 on the PC at all?
No, I don't have a prototype of Skynet.
All right. And, Corey, you did play it on the PC.
Yes.
All right. So some of the things that I really, like, I've been loving The Witcher. And at first I was kind of like, eh, but the more I've gotten now into Chapter 2, and I'm really liking how the story kind of builds out from that.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat. It's
okay.
It's kind of rough.
Well,
like,
yeah, you're playing on Xbox, so I can see it being a little bit more... No, I can't see it being any better. I was trying to think of a good way to say that the controller would probably be a little bit better than trying to do it on a keyboard, but no, it's probably not any better.
Go ahead, Matt. You go, because I don't know what to say.
All right, I did the tutorial and got my butt kicked, and it says, oh, you should do easy. And I'm like, easy's for noobs, you know? So I picked normal, and like in 3 hits, I get my ass kicked. So I'm sitting here, like, trying my hardest to progress through the game when, you know, 2 hits and I'm dead and I have to restart the whole fight all over again. So I'm like, screw it. Yep. I got to do easy mode because apparently I suck.
Yes, I'm the same way. I was trying to play on normal and, you know, like, I mean, to the point where my wife came in the room and was like, okay, seriously, drop the level down because you're getting really pissed off. Like I was getting to throw the controller mode because, you know, I mean everyone's had that thing where, you know, they get into a fight, they don't really realize exactly where they are or what they're doing, and you die and you're like, okay, I know what to expect this time, no problem. Then you go in and you try something different, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, you know, and if it doesn't, okay, well, you try something else. Like, I tried six different ways to kill this group of 5 guys, and I'm like, fuck!
Exactly.
Like, I keep dying. My favorite was the guy who was throwing knives through a tree.
Yes! That was, what's his name? From, at Flotsam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I dove behind a tree.
Yes!
So that couldn't hit me anymore. No, I saw the knife come right through the tree.
That was at the graveyard, right?
Roll yes, faster. Right.
Yes.
Roll faster.
It was,
Corey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm all for, you know, difference between realism in a game and game parts of a game. But come on. In no universe does a knife go through a fucking tree. It just doesn't.
That's funny.
He's not magic. He's not a magic user. He's a fucking toolbox with a knife that he throws through a tree.
Oh, man.
And then I'm sitting there waiting for... I'm like... It's almost getting to the point where I was trying to, like, do Street Fighter timings. Because I'm waiting for an animation to hit, to finish, while 3 guys are hitting me in the back.
Oh.
And I'm just like... Ah.
All done.
And then, like, the first 8 levels, all you can do is upgrade the Witcher training part.
Oh, yeah. That sucked.
You can't do swordsmanship. Nope. You can't do magic.
Because they want you to get the basics down first, and then they give you all the signs and all that stuff. But, see, I'm wondering, okay, on the Xbox controller, when using it, how do you handle the signs and everything? Because there's so many buttons you have to use. Is there enough on the Xbox controller, or do you have to, like, hold something to change a button?
Yes, you have to hold hold left bumper to pull up a radial menu to pick your sign. So you only really can have one sign at the ready.
Really?
On your Y button.
Okay. Well, that's better than how they have the PC set up.
But it's not the game isn't paused.
Right.
The game is slowed.
Super slowed, yeah.
See, so when playing on the PC, you have your number pad and you have your WASD, obviously. But the problem is 1 through 0 are all used. So 1 is draw your sword, 2 is silver sword, 3, I think you go forward, 4, you go back, 5, you cast Ard, 6 is the Y one, 7 is the other one, 8 and 9 are the other two magics, so I think that's all the sigils, and then 0 is like sheath your sword. This is all while in combat. Now, while your right hand, for those that are right-handed, the right hand is on the number pad, left hand's down WASD, if I want to hit something, I have to put my hand on my mouse and left-click for swift blow and right-click for strong blow. So I have to keep switching my hand from number pad to mouse, and if I slip and miss, my hand's too far over, and I'm alt-tabbing all sorts of places. It's so... Because lock on target is alt, right? So I'm trying to go through everything. I don't have enough fingers. I don't have enough hands. I need a whole nother person to help me play this game. So that was what bothered me, is that either you were going to cast magic and just run around casting magic and rolling forward, back, and left and right and casting magic, or you were just going to take your sword and just start swinging like a madman. Those were your options.
Yes.
You can't do both.
It doesn't let you do any reassignment?
You can re-key it, but you still have to have your right hand and your left hand on the keyboard at the same time, because... I don't have enough buttons on my mouse. I'd have to rekey. I'd have to buy one of those badass Razer Naga mouses that have the number pads on the left-hand side just to be able to cast everything. But I'm not spending all the money just to play one game.
Yeah.
But I would love that. I'd be awesome. I'd be casting magic and bashing in faces and not having a problem. It's just that I'm having to move my hand. I'm trying to pay attention to the screen, the knife fight. You're more worried about rolling than you are trying to cast the Y spell or whatever. And I'm like,
Yarden.
Is it Yarden?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the trap one that that knocked back. That was what I was going to try, and that didn't pan out so well.
Yurgen, Porygon, Boygon.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And here's the thing is I don't feel like the signs are really magic. They're just kind of like... Okay, I'm going to quick throw the Igni, like the fire spell, except it's not really a spell. It's more like I throw some fire out to annoy you so I can roll the fuck away.
Yeah.
Be distracted by this fire. I'm rolling away now. Whee! Bye.
Right.
Yeah. Seriously, it's... I will say that they moved the sword sheathing and which sword you pull out to the D-pad.
Okay.
So it's really easy to quickly pull my thumb out, either press left for the steel sword or right for the silver sword. That part works out great.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And I'm really annoyed at I'm slamming the right bumper to throw my bomb, except I'm in the middle of some kind of weird animation from either rolling or whatever else I was doing. So then I don't throw the bomb. So by the time it actually throws the bomb, the enemies are on top of me, and I use the Dancing Star.
Oh.
So I get burned, too.
Right. So you get to suffer as well.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I don't even bother with traps. I just go in there and swing my sword like a madman.
Okay, so here's the question. Have you actually tried to use a trap? And if you do try to use a trap, do you end up igniting... Do you end up tripping the trap yourself?
Yes.
Because that happens to me a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I've done it where I've stunned the enemy, laid down a trap, and he takes his sweet-ass time setting this freaking trap. But by the time I'm done, I try to roll out the way, but it just doesn't work, and I get caught in my own trap. It's like, awesome, great.
And you know how nice it is when you're playing Reckoning and you have Detect Hidden and you walk near a trap and it lets you undo it real quick, real easily?
Yes, I love that.
I always fucking Prince of Persia right into the trap. There's a snare on the ground. I see it, and I start walking to it, except I do the Prince of Persia thing where I take an extra step, and I step right in the trap.
Oh, man. You have to be, like, right on top of the trap to disarm it, too, which is like, oh!
Yep. I was just like, I'm like, there's so much about this game I love. The story is brilliant. It's delivered really well. Oh,
combat
God.
Sucks.
Combat kills me, and that's why I just leave it on easy now. I don't even.
That's been with both The Witcher games. I mean, I've always had a problem with the combat specifically. Like, I've always thought that the games are great. There's so much to do and see, and the monsters, and the sleeping with the women, and there's so much to do that you kind of look past the combat. You're like, you know what, I'm just going to mash buttons until I get to the next story mode. Like, combat is just a consequence of the story. So you're not really worried about fighting. You're more worried about getting to the next city or solving the next problem. Or no, you're like, oh, I got to fight now? Hold on, let me just mash this button and get to the next part. So.
Yep.
Yes. And I kind of wish the map cues were a little better. They sort of, like, tell you where to go for the tracked quest.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent, like, especially in Vergen.
Vergen.
I'm, like, going through tunnels, I'm trying to climb stairs, I'm going all over the place, I can't find fucking anything.
Oh, speaking of which, that first, the first part when you're in Flotsam and the notice board, and it's like the Necker contract and the Necrophage contract, and it's like, oh, find out more information about Neckers. I'm like, okay, let's see if we can find a library or something. It's like, no, you have to go out and kill them. Like, how the fuck was I supposed to know that?
No, you do. You have to go out. You have to go to there's a dwarf that has a bunch of books. But the thing is that only tells you how to kill him. It has nothing to do with finding the nest. Yeah. You have to accidentally stumble on the nest.
Oh, man.
I spent an hour looking for the fourth nest.
Yeah, same here.
One of the things we've talked about when we talked about the other games like Skyrim and Kingdoms of Amalur, we don't want our hand held. You know, we want to have a game that forces us to explore, and Witcher does really well at, you know what, here's a couple breadcrumbs, but good luck finding the thing. So they're really good about that, and I think that part of that frustration makes that game unique in that way, that it says, you know what, suck it up, I'm not going to hold your hand, you need to go out there and explore.
I absolutely agree with you. I just wish there could be a point where, you know, like, maybe just put a giant bubble on the map that kind of lets me, you know, like in an MMO, where it kind of gives you a general idea, like a really large swath of land.
Area, right.
Yeah.
Highlighted.
I want a point where I just want to be like, okay, I've been walking around this effing forest for an hour. Just tell me where it is.
I know, right?
I don't give a shit anymore.
You get
just
that
tell
frustrated.
Me where it is.
I could see that, but you know, when you have a real map and you're trying to find someplace, like Waffle House or something, there's no big gigantic blue thing on my Google map that says exactly where it's at. I gotta go, well, it actually gives me a direct location, so
You can go to Street View.
And you can go to Street View. Okay, Witcher, you suck.
No. I mean, like, honestly, I just, there are just times where I kind of just wish I could tell it, okay, I admit it, I'm stupid.
Moving on.
Just tell me where to fucking go.
Exactly. I haven't figured it out. A little help, please.
Yes.
Maybe they should set a timer that, like, for a certain amount of time, you've been at it for like an hour, they're just like, okay, guy, here it is. We'll give it to you this time.
Finally. <Seriously. laughs>
Or, you know what? Just ask me straight out. Do you need help with this quest? And then I go, yeah. Even if it costs me, like, you know, 100 experience or 200 experience, I'd be like, yeah, just fucking show me.
I'm not sure I would be able to have this, you know, I would be the guy that would pop up and it would say, hey, do you need some help? I would say, no, I don't need your help, game. I can do this by myself. Grown-ass man.
Hell yeah. Grown-ass little man.
Right? 4 hours later, every time it asks me, can I help you? No, I don't need your help. I've been playing games for years.
If I was a grown-ass man, I'd be able to play this on normal, but I can't.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, normal should not be that hard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Just like, I can't even imagine dark mode at this point.
No, I don't even want to think about that.
Probably one hit, you're dead. And it's like,
yeah.
This and I love how insane.
Yeah. I'm the second to the last hardest. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm done with Witcher.
Done.
I'm still going to play it. I want to play it all the way through, but I'm done talking about it.
Fair. Yeah.
The other game I've been playing and I finally finished is Mass Effect 3. So
don't you dare spoil that ending. Don't you spoil it.
Everyone dies, and no, I'm just kidding. But I will. My comment for the whole ending thing and everyone being all pissed off about it. There's a part where I can see that you may not feel that all the, you know, like maybe not all the little bows are all tied up real nice and neat, you know, in little packages for you. But I feel very confident in the, you know, what we were given based on like what the writers gave us and what my decision was. I feel perfectly fine.
Seriously.
I really do not understand why people feel so entitled to this other, you know, this enhanced ending when I feel like, you know, maybe it was a little shorter, but you know, it is what it is.
People need closure, man.
But I feel like there was a slight bit of confusion. Like, I'm watching the end and I'm just like, I don't understand. But you know, like, as in, like, how people got to where they got, but whatever. I mean, it's fine. I don't need, you know, like, I don't need, like, at the end of Stripes where, you know, where it stops and says, you know, this person's getting ass-raped in jail, this person became a senator, you know, this person became, you know, the person who writes for National Lampoon. Yeah, I don't need that, you know? I don't need, like, Liara stayed as the Shadow Broker, and then she went on to, you know, win the jackpot in, you know, whatever game show is on, you know, after Battle Space, you know? I'm just saying, I don't need that. That's fine, you know? And the whole Jessica Chobot thing, it's not real good.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like
a fan service.
She played herself playing this person.
Awkward. Very awkward.
So yeah. Bad.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there really wasn't anything wrong with it. It's just kind of like, eh.
So overall,
what are you doing here?
Overall, yeah. You're okay with the ending. You're not hurt. Yeah. You don't feel that BioWare owes you anything. You're good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing I think BioWare owes me is they need to make the multiplayer a little, like, they need to make the barriers to entry less. I tried playing the multiplayer, and thank God that someone finally let me play a game with them on, like, the fifth time I joined a lobby, or fifth or sixth time I joined a lobby, because I kept getting kicked out because my level wasn't high enough for those people.
You're not good enough for them, Brian.
Right. No, basically, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had some nice people after, literally, it was the sixth or seventh time I was in a lobby that were nice enough to play around with me.
Well, that's any other game. You can't just put that on the...
Well, no, I'm not saying it's directly BioWare's fault, but I mean, no. If there was anything that I'd like... Like, I had a hard time finding a game that was, you know, not gold level. Like, I wanted to play bronze level because I want to play with other noobs like me. And I had a very, very difficult time finding a game to play.
Wow.
Maybe I was just playing too late at night. I don't know.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I mean, but if my galactic readiness, you know, is based on, you know, my multiplayer playing.
Well, next time don't suck so bad. You'll be fine. Just I'm saying, maybe people would play with you more if you didn't suck so bad.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can't argue with that. I mean, I did suck a lot, I'll tell you.
I'm sure you did.
That was not very good.
Hey, same-sex relationships.
Yeah. I didn't really pursue it, but... Yeah.
Oh, all right. So you didn't play a chick? Just ask.
No.
Oh, okay.
I played a dude. I played a dude Shep.
Did you make love?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes, I did.
Who'd you pick?
Liara. Okay. I picked Miranda in the second game. I picked Liara in the third game.
You're just a space whore, aren't you?
Well, Miranda really wasn't an option. I was all about, sticking with, sticking it to her. That didn't come out right.
I'm sure.
I was staying with that, my relationship, but it didn't really pan out.
Hold on,
so
let me tweet your wife real quick. You better watch him when he's playing the game.
My wife is the one who in Witcher 2 is like, go hire a whore.
Hey, there's achievements for that. I'm just saying.
I'm just like, okay, sure, honey. Yeah, Witcher 2, I don't know. I've had sex with multiple women.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Well, I save the elven women, and then I meet up with one when I get to Vergen, and she's like, let me thank you. And I'm like, okay.
I'm not going to refuse that.
Wow.
If you say so.
Moving on.
Anyway, so Matt, you were our adventurer to PAX East this year, and you wrote a slew of really great articles on AgriGamer. So just kind of touch on some of your favorite parts and what you really enjoyed about the conference and, anything else you can think of.
I'd have to say my favorite part ever was having my first interview ever be with Suda51. That was so epic, so amazing, and I can die happy now because of that. It was really cool, especially hanging with Fred, Irene, and Kenton from Pwn.com. I mean, without those guys, there really wouldn't be any interviews or anything. They helped me out and stuff, and great friends. What else? Drinks were pretty expensive. I think they were like $3.50 for a liter of Pepsi or something. It was just nuts. Wow. I didn't go to any panels because, to be honest, I didn't feel like any of them were my type. So I just pretty much stayed on the floor the whole time and checked out as many games as I could. And then Friday we went to an after party, which was nice. And then Saturday we all went to the Irrational Games party, which was just the cherry on top for the experience. Boatloads of fun.
Very nice. So what was the favorite game that you saw?
That I saw... or demoed, I'd have to say either Spec Ops: The Line or Borderlands 2. I mean,
wait, Spec Ops: The Line, really?
Yeah, that was really cool. I demoed that and I thought it was amazing.
Wow. Well, then they've done a lot of work since E3 2010 because it kind of looked like crap. It was like they opened up a can of generic shooter, and then they dumped it out and said, oh, here you go.
Oh, man. Another good one was Aliens Colonial Marines. That's definitely going on the must-buy list, definitely.
A lot of people have been waiting for that one. I'm actually excited for that one.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited now. It just looks top-notch, and we got to play the multiplayer, and it was the bomb. So cool.
Wait, who's developing this?
I don't know.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
I can check right now.
Like, but Sega's publishing it, right?
Yeah. Sega. My voice just cracked.
It's all right. No worries.
Developed by Gearbox and Timegate Studios.
Oh, Gearbox. All right. I'm down for Gearbox.
Hell yeah.
You all right, Corey?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm dying over here. It's all right.
Okay, good. Good.
Gearbox and Timegate, and I'm like, what?
Well, no, no. I mean, it's fine because, you know, if you're dead, then we'll have an open chair for the podcast.
I see how that is. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And Matt, tell us about your award, your Xbox award-winning experience.
All right. So all throughout the weekend, from 4 to 6, the guys over at Wrecketeers were having this contest. Whoever got the highest score for wrecking the most stuff in in Wrecketeers got an Xbox bundled with Kinect. And it was Sunday afternoon. It was like 5:30, and I was debating on it because I was really tired and I was cranky. You know, grab a Snickers, that kind of deal. Yeah. And I'm like, eh, screw it. You know, Kenton's going to go try it, so I'll go try it. And on the first try, I got about 2,000 points shy of a gold medal, and it was like 397,950 or something like that. And no one else could beat it. And that was just the winning score right there. I went back in line to try and beat it like two more times, and I couldn't do it. It was just like a one-hit wonder kind of deal, and it was like, yes.
All right, so break down just a couple of sentences on what is Wrecketeer?
Wrecketeer is...
It's a Kinect game?
Yes, it is a Kinect game. It's basically you're this part of a demolition team, and you're hired by the king to get rid of unwanted castles that are infested with goblins, and you rack up points from destroying as much of the castle as you can. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm so glad I got a Kinect now, because I'm going to play that game like no tomorrow.
When does it get released?
Let me find out.
Or is it out now?
I don't think it's out now.
All right.
So wait, how do you run it so that you break stuff? How do you wreck stuff? Like, do you run back and forth? How does that work?
No. You take hold of this huge... ballista, and when you fire it off, you take control of the shot, depending on what shot they're on, like five different shots, and you move it a little bit and stuff, and it's basically like that.
I love it.
It's so much fun.
You know what they need? They totally need to get Kinect Rampage.
Oh my god, yes.
Where you just stand sideways and you just move your arms and bash in windows and like and sides of buildings.
Oh, that would be the coolest thing ever.
I don't know. I don't know if they're doing it or not, but they should. If they aren't doing it, someone do it.
Yep, just do it now, please.
Love it. I love it. All right, so Matt, one last question. You said you got to meet Suda.
Yeah.
How much do you love Lollipop Chainsaw then?
Oh, I love it so much. I got to play it, and it reminded me of that PS2 game of Evil Dead, where...
The Bouncer?
No, not The Bouncer.
That's horrible.
But it's so cheesy and campy. It's right up my alley, so I'm definitely going to get it. Nice. Yeah, and interviewing Suda51, like, even though there was interpreter, or, yeah, whatever, because he was speaking Japanese and I was English, like, at the end, like, the last few minutes of the interview, it just, he was saying stuff in Japanese, and I automatically knew what the hell he was saying, even though I didn't understand him. And we were just going back and forth, and it was pretty cool.
Nice. Very nice. All right, I like it. what else? Now, I know there's some...
Wait. Speaking of Rampage, there is or was a reboot that was in development. I don't remember if it was being dropped off or not, but it was when Warner Brothers acquired Midway. They were discussing making a Rampage Kinect game. So, yeah, that was actually last month they were talking about that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a Rampage Total Destruction for Wii was coming out in 2006, and they were talking about doing it for the Kinect, and I was like, oh, that would be epic. So.
Yep, pretty much. Either that or I want Joust.
Oh, yeah.
Really? How would you do Joust? I could see you like running back and forth and jumping up and trying to get your thing to fly, and you're like, oh my god, I'm going.
Yeah. Oh, no. I didn't say it would be fun for more than 5 minutes. I'm just saying you'd flap your arms and try to get your bird in the air.
Oh,
I love Joust.
God,
so much.
Lord. Okay.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Your age is showing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
All right, so I know, Corey, you want to talk about Double Dragon Neon.
Double Dragon Neon. Okay, so the reason I wanted to talk about this, and Matt will appreciate this, all these cool 80s games are coming to Xbox Live. So we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We have the Simpsons arcade game. I want, like, Sunset Riders. I want all these old-school four-player 80s arcade classics to come back to Xbox Live. So for Double Dragon, one of my favorite Nintendo games of all time, two-player, side-scrolling, Billy and Jimmy Lee action, to be re-released on Xbox, number one, redone graphically completely, number two, I can't contain my enthusiasm. So Matt, you got hands-on with it, so I wanted to know, does it still feel like Double Dragon, or did they completely ruin the gameplay?
To be honest, I felt like I was playing Double Dragon on NES.
Oh.
Just with better graphics.
It was a beautiful thing.
Awesome.
And I know, Brian, you asked what a Bobo? What is his name?
A Bobo
looked like.
A Bobo for the win.
Yes. A Bobo for the win. And you posted that video in your article. So if anybody wants to see what it looks like, go check it out on the article. But how about the soundtrack? How's the soundtrack on the game? Y'all remember the song? I was like, yes, 8-bit action. So, I mean, I want this nostalgia back. So that's why I'm like vicariously living through you.
To be honest, it's been a while since, you know, PAX, and I completely forget the music in it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But okay. Just
go back. Go back now and play it again.
Yeah, just watch the video, and you'll probably hear it there.
Did they say that they're going to plan on doing more iterations at all? Do you know? Are they going to be doing, like, Double Dragon 1, 2, 3, and all those? Because you know what this means. If we get Double Dragon, we're going to get Battletoads. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. And then we're going to get Double Dragon and Battletoads, the ultimate team.
Exactly.
Yes. No, that'll be Double Dragon versus Battletoads.
I can't wait for that one. I'll play that. I would buy that on Xbox.
Oh, hell yeah.
Live.
Mm-hmm. That'd be epic.
No.
Yes.
Guys.
No, you wanted to make fun. That's what you get. I will buy it.
No,
they can have my money.
Fuck, no.
Battletoads. No. Hell yeah.
We need that like we need another fucking Capcom versus fill in the blank.
We need another Final Fantasy. Oh! I went there.
Hot dude, when Versus 13 comes out, I'm going to be all over that.
Lord.
It's going to be awesome.
It's
going to be awesome!
I don't have enough hours in my life to give it up. So, yes, so I'm hoping that we get more of these iterations of these 80s classic games, and reliving my Nintendo childhood on my Xbox Live is amazing. So,
keep
it coming.
I'm just shaking my head.
You can shake it all you want, man. When it comes out, you have an Xbox now. I'm going to send you invites. I'm going to send you voice messages. I'm going to say, Brian, get on. Let's play some Double Dragon.
Actually, okay, I might actually get on and play Double Dragon. That actually might happen.
So,
I love that game. all right, it's enough Double Dragon. God of War Ascension has been announced. I believe that was last week.
Yes.
Does anyone actually care?
What else can you really do with him? I mean, Kratos has pretty much been to hell and back and done everything. And this seems like it's going to be more of a prequel. So...
But see, now the problem is you're saying that like that's a good thing.
It's okay. I'm reminded of Legacy of Kain, if anybody remembers those games. Soul Reaver and all those games. And how awesome Soul Reaver was, and even how awesome Legacy of Kain was, you know? And I loved that series, and it ended, but they wanted to go back in time, and I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want a prequel. I don't want to go before Legacy of Kain. There was a first game. That happened. And then we got Soul Reaver and everything else. I'm good with that. Same thing with this series. We've got three God of Wars. We understand his story. I don't want to know his backstory. I don't feel I need that. I have closure. I don't need to know what happened before then. I think they're just going off of the steam of God of War being so popular right now, and they can't really make a fourth one, so they're going back to explain the storyline, and I'm going, I don't think it'll sell as well.
Yeah, there's really no point to this game having any more. I just don't see the point of it. It's just, I think developers really, really just need to let it go. Like, not just God of War, but they, you know, start looking at these, you know, threes and fours and sixes and
Call of Duty. That's,
excuse me. Call of Duty reminds me of Rambo.
Oh, God.
There are so many Rambo movies, and there's so many Call of Duties. I just, okay.
First Blood Part 2, First Blood Part 5,
right?
Second Blood Part 7.
And then he,
I'm just waiting for Call of Duty to start branching out like Mario, you know?
Oh, God.
Call of Duty Tennis.
That'll happen. That could happen. That could happen.
That could. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't really see a point. I think that all the God of War fans will absolutely be satisfied with the game. I'm sure that there are a bunch of people that are the lore fans that really want to know what happened, but I don't know if there's enough of those fans to get it. And of course it's a teaser trailer, so all we get is a little bit of storyline, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's enough there to, you know, reinvigorate the player base.
So now, does that mean that that God of War Ascension is kind of moving into becoming a niche title?
Yes. Yes.
Because, I mean, like, you know, I tried playing God of War 3 demo. It really wasn't for me. You know, this is a game that has David written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, is the player base just getting smaller and smaller because people kind of stop caring about the game, and it kind of only goes for people who like this sort of game? And
could be, like, yeah, that's probably what it is, that this is to appease those players, to give them something else to play, to continue on the God of War series. Since they can't go forward, they're going to go backwards. And usually when that happens, they've run out of ideas, because next we'll get a prequel, then we'll get the sequel to the prequel, which is before God of War 1, and then the storylines become confused, and then we have no idea what's actually going on. But if they and the problem,
and then there's some slash fic,
and there's some and the problem is that if you don't tie your prequel lore with your storyline really, really well, you will be flamed forever. Like, you can't make mistakes, you can't have gaps. There has to be an explanation how 1, 2, and 3 happened. So
right, yeah, you can't start retconning.
No, you do that and you are in trouble. So we'll see what happens. It looks cool. I like the teaser. Well done, but let's see what happens.
All right. So last thing it looks like that we have on our, well, one of the last things we have on the list is Max Payne 3's requirements for the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
So Corey, do you mind dropping us some of the minimum specs that we're going to need?
Okay. So we've got minimum and max specs. Obviously, operating system, we're looking at Windows 7. 32-bit, 64-bit, you know, service packs, one, Windows Vista. It'll run on Windows XP. That's what it says. Minimum requirements, Windows XP, 32-bit or 64-bit. That's awesome. Processor, minimum, we're looking at an Intel dual-core 2.4 gigahertz or the i7-3930K. This is all max spec right here. i7-3930K, 6-core, 3.06 gigahertz.
That's ridiculous.
It's a beast. Well, on the AMD side, it's a dual-core 2.6, FX8150, 8-core, 3.6 gigahertz processor. Well, nobody has that. And if you do have that, sir, please send me a picture of your computer so that I can hang it up next to mine.
So, like, because I need something to beat off to.
Play. RAM, minimum is 2 gigabytes, maximum is 16 gigs. Now, all of this is just the standard of the hardware industry. Obviously, the best of the best, it'll run the best on. So the video card, it's like you have –
best of the best, sir.
Best of the best. It's, I mean, speaking of Stallone. So NVIDIA has the 86 – NVIDIA's video card has to be minimum 8600, 512 megabytes of RAM. Max is the GeForce GTX 680, 2 gigabytes of virtual RAM, which didn't come out that long ago, which I'm surprised they're speccing for. Radeon HD 3400 for 512, or the Radeon HD 7970, 3 gigabytes of RAM. Now remember, this all varies. As long as you have one of the devices within that range, you should be able to run it. It's got full DirectX 11 support, which I think is fantastic. DirectX 9.0 compatible sound card, NERP. But this is what all those specs are standard. I mean, it's whatever they say, you know what, these are the products that are still in place that will run it minimally at low settings versus what it will run at high settings. That's fine. But what caught me off guard was the hard drive space requirement, and that's 35 gigabytes.
That's just wrong.
To me, that is a ridiculous amount of space for a game. I don't even think my Steam library is 35 gigabytes. You know, I've been running World of Warcraft for 7 years, and that's not 35 gigabytes. So,
and the graphics look like it's been there for 7 years.
Yeah.
Owned.
I didn't like it, man. Take my toys and go home. Screw you guys. No, but Max Payne 3, I just don't see... I'm afraid the games are going to start going that way, that you're going to need larger and larger space to at least just have the install files, you know? Now, yeah. That's not to say that that's how the program's going to run. That's just how much space it needs for install. So, 35 gigs is ridiculous.
I mean, we're talking you basically have to start having terabyte hard drives.
Or a RAID system built for storage. You have to. That's where we're at now. If you want a game, you need a serious rig.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, there has always been that kind of stigma with PC gaming that you have to have a badass rig to, you know, play games for reals.
For realsies.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
For reals.
Do you think that they might just be throwing out some of the max specs just to
flex some muscle? I'm hoping that's what's the case.
Yeah, like look at this. We spent $6,000 on a PC and this is what we got.
I always find
the gun show.
I always find the spec sheets for stuff like this hilarious because I don't care what game you're playing. If you're playing at those max specs, it's gonna look glorious.
Yeah.
So, if I had an i7-3930K 6-core processor running with the highest level video card out there for NVIDIA or Radeon, I'm pretty sure anything I run, I mean, Pong probably looks 3D at that point.
This Pong is amazing!
Right? So, yeah, it's hard with specs, but it's nice to know that they're programming for that, so... Hopefully they optimize all the cores, all the processors, all the pieces and parts to make it fantastic. But we'll see. It is Max Payne 3. So
Yeah. In the end, you still have to play Max Payne 3. Yeah. That's the downside.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, we'll find out. It comes out in a month?
Yeah.
End of May? Yeah, 29th.
All right. So speaking of things coming out this month, April... to me, more this year than ever before, has really seemed like a slow month for both releases and news. What are you guys' thoughts?
It's slow. I agree, it's slow. Fez came out.
Yeah. Really, I mean, besides, like, Prototype 2 is supposed to come out, I believe, this week or this weekend coming up. I mean, Witcher 2 is really a port. I mean, granted, it's an enhanced port, but it's still basically the largest release of the month was a port from PC from last year. Granted, it was, you know, Game of the Year winner for many, many sites, but, you know, I mean, still, the big release for the month was a port from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm just realizing it this year more than any other year. It just seems really slow as far as that, as well as, you know, news.
Well, think about it. It's April. There's not really anything going on. You're about a month till all the kids are out of school. So you probably want to hold on to all your good titles, at least until summer hits. Because then you're gonna, you know, you have all these kids mowing lawns, making all this money, having to spend it on something. That's when you, and they have free time to play these games. That's when you want to start cracking up your library, or in the fall before school starts, or towards the holiday. At springtime, this is development time. This is the time that people can spend the time to develop, and that's it.
Yeah, I just felt like we were so, like, there was a real heavy release at the beginning of the year, like release schedule at the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden it's like, nah, we're not really going to have releases anymore.
Well, we had that discussion. What really big releases were there in the beginning of the year? Mass Effect 3 and...
Right. Reckoning?
Reckoning. So that's two games in the first 5 months, in the first quarter. Yeah?
It's Twist of Metal?
Oh. Okay. Sure.
I just throw out there. Yeah, I'm just trying to make up stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we're not even getting Diablo 3, which is huge and highly anticipated, until the middle of May. We probably won't get the new World of Warcraft until June or July. And then, I mean, even Guild Wars 2 is coming out next month. So... Now's the you gotta wait till the kids are out of school. People have time. People have free time, or it's just too hot to go outside.
Yeah, we don't all live in Texas, so
you know what? I gotta do something. Gotta keep myself cool. My air conditioning.
Dude, even in Massachusetts, it gets like blistering hot up here.
It's stupid humidity.
Yeah, and it's brutal.
Humidity.
Yeah, I mean. There's not enough going on in the first coming months. I mean, this is you have to have time for the developers to develop. I think this is great times for indie games and indie developers to release games, because there's not much going on. All the big companies are running slow, so this is the best time to start pushing your work out there.
I just feel like, you know, a little slow and...
A little lackluster?
Yeah. To me, this would be a perfect time, especially if you had kind of an... You know, a game that may not be, you know, super AAA title
pushed out.
I think this is the time to do it. Like, you know, this is the time to drop something like that. And
well, you say that,
make get those people.
You say that, but look at what happened with the PS Vita. Not as great as everybody thought was happening. I'm just saying, Sony's like, hey, nobody else is putting a handheld out today. Let's put some games out in a handheld. Oh. Nobody's buying it. Not even Japan. There's a problem.
I actually love my Vita.
That's great. Now, if the rest of the world would love their Vitas, we'd be fine.
Well, I also need some better games.
I told you.
Today Amazon told me that I need to take advantage of the severe discount on Army Corps of Hell. No, I'm not buying that piece of shit game.
But that's another podcast, but I told you, Sony's got to get a better library. That's neither here nor there. But if you start pushing stuff like that, I think that they were hoping that since not a lot was coming out, that if they pushed the PS Vita out in the springtime, everybody would buy it because there really wasn't anything to compete with it. Apparently that was not the case.
Well, I do love the downloadable library that it has.
I like my Steam downloadable library, but... Which point?
To be honest, I haven't turned on Steam much lately. It's all about Origin now.
Really?
Well, my Mass Effect 3 is on Origin.
Yeah, so okay.
That's what I've been playing.
It's all about Xbox Live.
Oh God. Xbox Live is fine. I'm still getting a little used to the new dashboard from whenever the last time they did a dashboard. And I'm annoyed. I'm like, I don't understand why you keep going to the commercial when I'm trying to go back. Like, if you're on a certain panel and you go back, the very first thing it jumps on is the commercial. And I'm like, stop going to the fucking commercial. I pay for Xbox Live Gold. I should not have a fucking commercial on there.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I gotta agree with that one.
Well, gotta make some money somehow.
Dude, I'm paying for it. They make money off of me.
Exactly.
Although I will agree with you on one point, Brian, and that is that out of all the conferences that we've had so far, not a lot of announcements at the conferences. Like, PAX didn't really have anything huge to announce. CES didn't have anything huge to announce. I mean, does that bother anybody? What makes me think is that we have next year is all the big announcements, that everybody's going to be developing these huge games this year, and that next year they'll have a lot of stuff to throw at us.
Makes sense.
You know, take this year, push out next year.
So it's interesting then, Corey, are you saying that at the end of this year, unlike probably most people at the end of the last few years, this was the best year of gaming ever?
Yeah,
people are not going to be saying that.
I don't think so. I don't think that there's enough, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to get like Mass Effect 3 is going to be game of the year, or whatever Call of Duty they push out at the end of the year, if they do another one. Fez, these little, I think that this is the year for like downloadable games, that we'll see a lot of those as game of the year, since we're not getting these really big AAA titles.
I don't know, man. Diablo 3.
What?
Bioshock
Diablo 3.
Infinite.
Bioshock Infinite. Yeah, okay, so there's two games. So in the running, we have three games for overall game of the year. That's a slow year.
There's always...
Go ahead. If you... I know what you're going to say.
Final Fantasy 13 2 came out this year.
Let's not even go there. When was the last time a Final Fantasy game was game of the year?
Never.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say 1980 never.
Just letting you know. Let's break that down for you. But yeah, there's not a lot. What is it? Everybody's re-releasing Game of the Year. What, there's the Game of the Year edition of the new Batman Arkham City, and I'm going, really? They're re-releasing that as the Game of the Year edition? Yay. There was a lot of good titles last year, but this year, so far, it's starting off slow. And so Diablo 3 has it in the bag, so I'm good. So yay, yeah, keep it up. Keep the speed up.
All right. I haven't actually looked at where we're at. All right, well, I'm thinking that's we're getting towards the 80-minute mark or so. So I think we should wrap things up. Corey, any parting thoughts before we finish up?
None actually.
Hero Academy Game of the Year?
No. Whatever Apple and Valve are developing, that'll be Game of the Year.
Nice. It would be interesting to see what they could put together.
Hey, they're talking about, what did they call it? They said it's a wearable computing. So, hey.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Hey, Apple TV with your Steam game library. Hey, you can download it right there from Steam. Play on Apple TV in your living room.
I don't know. I'd have to see it. I guess I'd have to see it.
I want to be able to yell at my TV and Siri go, what game do you want to play?
And you'd be like, shut up, bitch.
Torchlight. Keep coming. So, honestly...
Oh, hey, did you watch Torchlight 2 opening cinematic?
I was at a cook-off, so no.
Yeah. Well, I saw it today.
I was working.
Were you at a cook-off today?
I was working. I was working. So, you know, that happens. Gotta work.
No, not for me. All right. But yeah, Torchlight 2. I hope if I can actually get into E3 this year, see that again.
Okay, I'm going to watch that. I'm very excited. 2D action. Loving it.
All right, Matt, any parting thoughts?
Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Right, okay.
That's all I got.
Right. All right. Well, that's something. My last thought, if anything, is if you guys and all the listeners out there keep a good thought, I'm going under the knife on Wednesday. Gonna have a carpal tunnel surgery on my right hand on Wednesday, and then 2 weeks from now I'll be doing it on my left hand. So
best of luck.
Thanks.
You'll be.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I just won't be able to play video games.
Oh no.
Yes. Yes. I'll Yeah, I have a lot of stuff piled up in the DVR that I'm going to watch a lot of TV.
Nice.
Because can't really push the buttons too well. So it'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah. All right. Cool. Matt, we can catch you on Twitter and stuff. Talk about that.
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at ShreddingRuin. That's R-U-E-N. You can also check me out on the emails at jthm773@gmail.com.
Sweet. Corey.
Catch me at Twitter, Mythic Griffin, MythicGriffon. Actually, that's pretty much everywhere. If you just want to find me, type that into Google. You'll find me, I promise you.
Even on Pinterest.
Yeah, even on Pinterest, and you all may mock it, but there is a huge geek community on there, so...
Okay, except for one thing.
Oh, God.
I cannot delete a fucking pin.
User error.
It was user error. I admit it was user error. I thought, when it said repin, I thought that meant to repost it to my feeds, because I fixed it. No. Means put it there twice.
Yes.
That's stupid. Anyway, go ahead. Finish your.
No, that's it. Look me up. Right. Mythic Griffin. If you have anything to say, if you guys, if you're in the Houston area, keep following me on Twitter. I always post where I'm cooking. So if you want to come out and talk video games, drink beer, and cook, or eat all the awesome food that I make, come on out.
Right. And if you want to stalk him, do the exact same thing.
Still stick with Mythic Griffin. You can find me all over.
Right. Pretty much anywhere. The GPS coordinates, too.
Yeah.
You can always catch me on the Twitters and everywhere else as Quiglin, Q-U-I-G-L-I-N. All right. Leave your stuff in the show notes, or your comments in the show.
And remember, we're looking for a new name for the Diablo podcast. So,
yeah.
We're going to make Brian play the crap out of that game.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be... something.
You've never played a game until you've played with me and Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that was supposed to be encouraging. And,
oh, I never said that was encouraging. That you said that was encouraging. I just said you never played a game until you played it with us.
Oh,
it's going to be a Quiglin sandwich. Wait, what?
Eiffel Tower.
That's right. You're a piece of white bread. I'm a piece of white bread. And Quiglin's the salami.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. And if you have any ideas for the next show, leave those in the comments, and we'll or send us an email, and we'll read it on the air. All right. So from the guys here, we are out. Peace.
Later.
See ya.